Go with me back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We were here for both of our services last Sunday morning. And I wanted to be here again tonight because this next verse in line holds such a sweet and loving thought to me. Verse 17, 1 Timothy 1, verse 17. It says, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, the uncertainty of riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. He said, charge them that are rich in this world to not be proud of their riches, because all of it was given to them. He said, tell them to not trust in themselves. Tell them to not trust in their ability to get riches, which is what we do. I'm pretty good at this. Tell them to not trust in the riches. They can be taken away just as quickly as they were given. Job said, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what Paul is saying right here. Don't trust in the gifts. Trust in the giver. Verse 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Put all your trust in the living God. Verse 17 says, who giveth us. Everything that we have from Him is a gift. It is not earned. I know we men and women think that we are earning a living and a life for our families, but we're not. We're not. Everything we have is a gift. All of it is grace. It's not works. It's not works. It's grace. It's all grace. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly. Everything that God gives to us, He gives it to us richly, abundantly, abundantly. David said, my cup runneth over. And it does. God's people say that with David. My cup runneth over. Our Lord said, if you're hungry, open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. As wide as you can, I'll fill it. That's how God gives. When God gives, He gives abundantly, not sparingly. He gives richly. And not only does He give richly, He gives this way too. Look with me, if you would, at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians 2, verse 12 says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Freely, richly, and freely. That's good, isn't it? Everything that God gives to us, He gives it richly and freely. That's good. That's amazing. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered him up for us all that the Father elected and predestinated to Christ. How shall he not with him? You think about the fact that he gave his Son richly and freely. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Revelation 22:17 says, let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Freely. Isaiah 55 says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Freely, abundantly, richly, and freely. Our text says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Now, I want to spend our time tonight dwelling on the fact that our God has richly given us. Not the world, but the us word, his chosen people who he foreknew in Christ and loved in Christ and placed in Christ and redeemed in the blood of Christ and has kept in Christ and called in Christ and glorified and will glorify in Christ. Us. Our God has richly given us all things. He has given the world, the unbelieving, the unregenerated world, some things right now. But he has given us all things richly to enjoy. Think about that. Think about that. He has richly given us all things to enjoy. Now, there are plenty of warnings throughout the Scripture of being taken up with the things of this world. Our text said, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. The uncertainty of riches. You cannot count on money. You can count on God Almighty, but you can't count on money. John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and that means what I want for myself, and the lust of the eyes, that means how other people view me, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And that's so. That's so. If any man loves the things of this world more than the things of God, he is of the world. And he will leave this world empty-handed and suffer the consequences to come without Christ. Without Christ, Solomon said, everything in this world is vanity. It is all empty. It is absolutely nothing, and it will come to nothing. And that's why God's people don't put their trust in it. We don't put our trust in this world. You know, Washington is all up in arms right now. I don't even care. I mean, I do. But all that means is I'm just waiting to see what God is going to do. Everybody's arguing and everybody's, you know, trying to ward stuff off and trying to get people out and trying to this and trying to that. I'm just going to wait and see what God is going to do. I'm not putting my trust in this world. I'm not putting my trust in this government. I'm not putting my trust in this country. My trust is in my God. God's people do not put their trust in this world. All right. Solomon said, everything here is vanity. It's empty. But he said something else, too. Turn with me, if you would, to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes is just before Isaiah. Ecclesiastes 2. Solomon spent these first two chapters saying, everything in this world is vanity. All of it ends up being empty. You cannot put your trust in it. It'll only leave you with nothing but disappointment in the end. He spent the first two chapters saying this. But he realized in chapter 2, verse 24, that if the Lord will let us not put our trust in it, if He will let us hold it with an open hand and enjoy it in the moment for what it is and for who has given it to us. Verse 24, he said, there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw that it was from the hand of God. Look at chapter 3, verse 13. He said, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Does that not describe Jesus Christ to us? All of his good labor that for all of eternity he will enjoy, we will enjoy. Rest in the efforts of all of his work. Because of his work, every man and woman gets their own vine and fig tree, Christ being both. He's the vine, he's the work, he's the rest. Look at chapter 5, Ecclesiastes 5, verse 18. Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Our God has given us all things richly to enjoy, not to put our trust in, but to enjoy. That rich man in Luke 12 who had a bunch of barns. You know the story of the man in Luke 12. He had a bunch of barns. He wanted a bunch more barns. He wanted to tear down the barns he had and build bigger barns. He said, if I hold more grain, I can have a bigger retirement. That's what he was saying. If I do that, I'll be able to say to my soul, thou hast much goods laid up to last you many years. That's retirement. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. That's putting your trust in the things. Every time we do that, the things end up leaving us empty-handed. Every time we do that, the Lord said to that man, you fool, tonight your soul is going to be required of you. He said, this is what I'm going to do. And God said, no, you're not. Tonight your soul is going to be required of you. Don't put your trust in the things. Our God has not given us all things to trust in. He has given us one thing to trust in. The sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's it. But because of Him, in light of Him, with Him, our God has richly given us all things to enjoy. I want us to really see that everything comes from His hand. That's what I want us to really get a hold of. He has given to us all things richly to enjoy. From the food we eat, to the clothes we wear, to the homes we live in. We shouldn't take pride in these things. If you eat filet mignon on a regular basis, don't take pride in that. If you have name, I told you what name brand my suit was on Sunday. This one is Belk, I think. I don't take pride in that. I want to warn all of us. Let's not take pride. Don't take pride in looks. Don't take pride in fashion. Don't take pride in what car you drive. Don't take pride in where you live. Don't take pride in face, place, especially not grace. Don't take pride in grace. May God give us the ability to not take pride in what God has freely of His own will and His own accord and His own doing and His own decision given to us. What do we have that we have not freely received from His hand? With that being said, may God give us the ability to humbly enjoy and acknowledge His hand in all of His gifts to us. Every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now, let's take a minute and acknowledge His hand in some very enjoyable things that He has given to us. And I pray the Lord will give you a second here, just 1 second, to, in your heart, dial in to the enjoyment of this. I pray He will cause you to enjoy this. See the enjoyment of it. Along with food, I love food. It's so enjoyable to me. I like hot dogs. I really do. But I love food. Along with food, clothes, homes, cars, conveniences, family, friends, brethren, health. Our health comes from Him. Minds, jobs, along with everything that the rest of this world gets to enjoy. The rest of this world gets to enjoy all that too. God has made His sun to shine and His rain to fall on the just and the unjust. And along with all of the things that the rest of this world gets to enjoy, here are some things that God has richly given to us, His people. And I want to acknowledge them. I want to acknowledge some of these wonderful gifts that He has given to us to enjoy. And I pray we might enjoy this, all right? For the sake of time, I'm going to turn to a few and I'm going to quote a few. Let's start with Ephesians 1. Turn with me over there. Ephesians 1. Verse 2, it says, grace be to you. That means gift. That's what it means, gift. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with. That means given to us. That's what it means. Bless us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Our God has given to us every spiritual blessing that heaven has to give. And He has given it to us richly, freely and richly to enjoy. Think about this, okay? The grace of God. The kindness of God, the favor of God. How many times did Paul say, grace to you? Grace be to you. The grace of God to you. Grace, grace, God's grace. God has given grace. He has given kindness. He has given favor. He has not given that to the rest of the world. But He's given that to us. He has given grace. And He has given grace. I think about, you know, gracious people who welcome you into their home and sit you down at their table and feed you a meal and give you a place to sleep. Graciousness. So gracious. They're just so gracious. Well, that's how God is to us. He has given grace and given grace. And after all of that, do you know what James 4 verse 6 says? I adore this. For the record, I absolutely adore this. After all of that, this is what James 4 verse 6 says. He giveth more grace. He gives grace and grace and grace. And then after all that's done, He gives more grace. And we get to richly enjoy it. Oh, we take that for granted. We get to richly enjoy God Almighty's graciousness. I could just go home. I got a bunch of these. I could just go home right there. Christ is the grace. But I'll get to that in a second. We get to richly enjoy His grace. We get to richly enjoy the thought of His grace. What we're doing right now is thinking about the grace that we have. That's what we're doing in a worship service. We're recalling these things. And we get to enjoy the thought of His grace. Think about the spiritual blessing of mercy. He has richly blessed us in the blood of Jesus Christ with mercy. Don't you love that story of our brother who came up to me and just so troubled over his sin? And, you know, what do I do? What do I do? I said, beg God for mercy. And he came back to me 30 minutes later and he said, how much mercy does God have for me? So I think that could be my favorite question I've ever answered in my life. It's infinite. His compassion toward us because of His mercy starts over brand new every single morning. Every morning we get to enjoy the blessed thought. Have you ever gone to sleep at night thinking, I am such a sinner? And then wake up the next morning and think about the fact that His mercy started over brand new. His compassion started over brand spanking new this morning. The world does not get to enjoy that, but we do. We get to enjoy His mercy. We get to enjoy the thought of His mercy. Our God who is rich in mercy, but God who's rich in mercy. I enjoy thinking about the gift of His mercy to us. Think about the gift of His righteousness. You get to go stand before God Almighty in Jesus Christ's covering. Not your own. The world doesn't get that. We get to enjoy knowing, while we look at ourselves going, man, I'm so wretched. I'm so vile. I'm so wretched. I'm so rotten. I'm so ruined. We get to enjoy the thought that He has so covered us in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When God Almighty looks at us, all He sees is Jesus Christ. I enjoy that. It's very enjoyable to me. The gift of His sanctification. The gift of His redemption. The gift of His abundant peace. This is what He said. My peace I leave there with you. You get to hold on to that. Abundant. The abundant gift of His pardon. Isaiah 55 says He will abundantly pardon. What a thing to enjoy. We can richly enjoy every spiritual blessing that God has given to us in Christ. And every spiritual blessing can be summed up in this gift right here. All of them are because of this gift right here. Galatians 1 verse 4 says, He gave Himself. Christ is the gift. Christ gave Himself. He gave all of Himself. You know, it's possible for us to give some of ourselves. He gave all of Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world. Just enjoy the thought of that. Now, I'm going to be very brief, okay? We'll skim a couple of scriptures here. Go to John 17. John 17, verse 14. Our Lord said to His Father, I have given them Thy Word. He has richly given us this Word to enjoy. And we do, don't we? We thank God for this Word. Oh, we thank God for this Word. Now, I don't even know what to say about this one. I cannot comment on this, but look at verse 22. He said, and the glory which Thou gavest me, I have given them. The glory of God. The glory of God. I cannot comment on that, but I sure do enjoy the thought of it. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 57. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. It says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. The victory of the cross. Christ gave that to us. The victory is all His. But He won it for us, and He gave it to us. And because of that, we get to richly enjoy that victory. The victory over death. The victory over sin. We get to enjoy that. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. It says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Aren't you so thankful for the fact that that is our ministry? That's our message, reconciliation. What a message to enjoy. Verse 21 says, He made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's the greatest announcement that has ever been given, and we get to give it richly. So richly. Paul said in Ephesians 3:8, unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Don't turn, but 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 8 says, He has given to us His Holy Spirit. 2 Thessalonians 2, 16 says, He has given to us an everlasting consolation. 2 Peter 1, verse 3 says, He has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. 2 Peter 1 verse 4 says, He has given to us exceeding great and precious promises. He said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. He richly gave us His love, the promise of His love. He said, I have redeemed thee. Thou art mine. The promise of His redemption, exceeding great and precious promises. All right, turn to 1 John 5. We'll close with this. 1 John 5. First John 5, verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. Is the thought of that enjoyable to you? Eternal life. It says, and this life is in His Son. Verse 20 says, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know Him that is true. And we are in Him that is true, in His Son Jesus Christ. That word even is in italics. This is the true God and eternal life. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that through His poverty you might be rich. In Christ, God has given to us all things. And in Christ, they are to be richly enjoyed, very richly enjoyed. I pray the Lord will make that enjoyable. All right, stand with me.